Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Now it is Friday, which means visiting critic time, ladies and gentlemen. You know what this means when we get somebody to get into their discomfort zone and review for you something they would never ever consider of their own free will. All in the interest of furthering human understanding, of course. And this week is the turn of celebrity chef, author and Dancing with the Stars sweetheart, Kevin Dundon. Welcome, Will.
It's good to be here.
And we got you to do some aerial acrobatics. So Cirque du Dundon is...
Yeah, Cirque du Dundon.
Are you good at getting out of your comfort zone? I presume so, because you went dancing.
Yeah, I had no choice. I think the dancing kind of put me in that zone.
But all your life, do you try new things?
I do. I think it's important to take yourself out of your comfort zone, and because it kind of it makes you more creative.
Yeah.
So I've gone to India, I've done yoga down there, and I've gone to retreats, and it's completely different from what we do every day of the week. And I always get something really positive out of it. And even on this week when we were in the air hanging out of ribbons and whatever. First of all, I'm so happy I could do it.
Because it looks really difficult. In fairness, we've got pictures which I'll put up on Instagram later on. I presume they're already on your Instagram. Well, tell us where you went, first of all. Where exactly do you do aerial acrobatics in this country of ours?
So in Dublin, so Exchequer Street, and it's aerial cirque. It was Rita Murphy gave me a private instruction, and you walk into it's an amazing building. So it's the old kind of garment district of Dublin. So it's opposite Exchequer, you know, that old the pub.
It's very nice area down there. I believe you were sizing it up already as a restaurant.
I know, it's fantastic. But you had these beautiful stained glass windows, and it was like it kind of looked like a church. And you walk in, there's like five stations of these like ribbons hanging from the ceiling.
Right.
I'd say the roof was probably about 30 foot tall. And you've got these ribbons.
Which you learned later are called silks, are they?
They're called silks.
Silks.
There you go.
Very good.
And you're kind of going, looking at them going, okay, so what's happening here? I started laughing. Rhea, she was fantastic and really talented.
Yeah.
And so she kind of went to the ribbons and she said, first of all, you did a 3-minute warm-up.
Very good. How do you warm up for
jumping jacks. And,
that's usually exercise.
Yeah, doing planks, hitting your...
Doing planks?
Yeah. Listen, after 3 minutes, I was done. I'm not going anywhere. It's like, you mean, after getting those silks down? I was already...
We're going to find out a lot now about you. How long can you hold your plank for, by the way?
Well, obviously 3 minutes.
You did a full 3-minute plank.
No.
Fair.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Everyone's eyebrows are raising.
I know, yeah.
So Dancing with the Stars has really tightened that core.
It has, big time.
Okay.
And I also do reformed Pilates as well.
Oh, do you?
Yeah,
anyway.
Because of the lower back issue. So that sorts that.
It has sorted that.
Yeah, yeah. And the dancing really did that, because it's all about posture.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it really worked.
So the 3-minute warm-up sounds exhausting.
Yeah, I was done at that stage. And then you go to the silks.
Oh, God, right.
And she puts a knot in it, so it's like a cradle, I guess, like a seat. But then you have to raise your hands above your head and like really pull yourself up and into the seat. So you need upper body strength.
Yeah,
and then you get in there. And then you put your foot under your other leg, and then you kind of stand up directly. It's very hard to explain.
It sounds really hard to do, because you're pulling your entire body weight up off the...
Okay. Yeah, and then basically... You have to have so much trust in the silks.
What's on? I presume it's all these crash mats.
Yeah, there is a big crash mat.
But you don't want to use it. It's still going to be sore. Don't. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're kind of like you're floating and spinning.
Right. Oh, my God.
It's actually quite cool. But what was really good is that there's no pressure on the joints. And it's a really good kind of aerobic exercise. So you really feel as if you've worked out.
Do your legs go to jelly when you go up, first of all? I'd imagine that.
No, because if you do, you'd be on the ground.
This is usually done as a class, isn't it?
It's done as a class. Apparently they do a 2-hour introductory class on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And also, you meet people at it. Like, they've already had one wedding through
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's like a dating opportunity.
Yeah, it's like speed dating. Because you work in pairs.
All the inhibitions are gone once you pull yourself up into a hanging ribbon, essentially. Yeah.
The worst part was when you actually throw yourself backwards.
Oh God, right.
So yeah, and yeah. you're not holding on anything.
There's no
the silks are kind of wrapped around your legs and you're kind of swinging backwards down. So it's like kissing the castle rock of castle moment.
The Blarney Stone, you mean?
Blarney Stone, yeah.
Do you go upside down at some point?
Yes.
Right,
I didn't like that bit.
Oh right.
Because because initially you're a little bit concerned about your back, and I don't want injuries.
Yeah, which she knows about and takes care of, yeah.
But it was completely, completely safe.
So how, are you kind of knotted into the thing at that stage, or how do you hang yourself?
Yeah, you're kind of wrapped. It's not so much, you're not tied into it. It's just like wrapped. And right. So it's...
you did that once and said, I'm not doing that upside down.
Did it twice. The first time I was like really quick. Like, let me at it. And then I did it again.
Blood rushing to your ears kind of thing.
Yeah. And then, but it was good because the next time you kind of went up higher.
Right.
Like I got her, I said, can you please show me how it's done? And she went right to the top of the ceiling. Just like spectacular. I said, I'm not doing that. Not this time anyway.
As you pointed out, these are really high ceilings.
Yeah.
Kind of 30
foot.
Church-like. 30 foot.
Yeah, I would imagine 30 foot.
Did it feel great floating there at times when you got the hang of it and you knew what you were doing, I presume?
Yeah. I think I was actually really impressed with myself that I could actually get up on the silks and actually float and do it. She actually said I was very good, but saying that, like when I was doing Dance with the Stars, they also told me I was very good. So.
And whatever did they mean, Kevin?
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Okay, I will have no further questions. We'll come back to that in a minute. So there you are in the silks, trussed up like a prize turkey. All the trust in the fabric. It sounds like you love this.
Yeah, I was saying to Catherine, that she would love, my wife.
Your wife, yeah.
Yeah, she would... It's a great exercise. Mm-hmm. And
were you sweating afterwards? Did you feel like you'd done a workout?
Oh yeah, no, big absolutely. Time, yeah. But just after the first 3 minutes.
It sounds like you're going to do this again with the missus.
Yeah, I think it would be good to do it, Catherine. Yeah. Actually, yeah. So it was actually a really good experience. I'd recommend anybody to do it. It was really, really good.
Excellent. And that's Rita. Five
star.
And it's what is it called again? Aerial Cirque.
Yeah.
In Dublin. And that was a 2-star thing. The class is good. You mentioned Dancing with the Stars. How are you feeling about it all now?
Yeah, it was good. It was quite the experience.
Yeah.
It was a lot more work than I ever thought it was possible. Like 4 to 6 hours every day for seven days a week.
And when did you start your training?
So this is a really interesting point. So you start the last week of November.
No, people don't realise this.
Yes. And the first show goes out the 5th of January. And you're dancing away. And they're coming in saying, you're fantastic and you know, I can't believe how you're getting this so well. And then you're on your second dance already. And I was like, I thought I was like in the top quarter of all the dancers in my head. And then you go.
For how long?
I know. So you go on set on the 4th of January and you're in costume. You dance the routine.
Yeah.
And then you look back on camera and you go,
amazing.
Oh, you've been lying to me. And so have you. So I realised, okay, so this is it. And at this stage, you're live to the nation the next day.
It's very exposing. Yeah, it's wintertime. Everyone's watching.
So I had, so it's 90 seconds of dance and 8.5 minutes of telly.
After so months and months.
Yeah, so let's concentrate on the telly bit and just get the dancing out of the way. Well, it is Dancing with the Stars, isn't it?
I suppose you were expected to be, given, you know, every year people of the certain age, people go, oh yeah, they'll be gone in week one or two. You made it all the way to the quarterfinal stages.
Yeah,
and became the story of Dancing. I don't even remember what else happened. it was all about you. You probably didn't expect that.
No, I just didn't want to go out the first week because I think no one wants to go out the first week. Yeah. And but we actually went to week 9. So we actually learned 10 dances, which was quite remarkable.
Yeah.
And some of them were actually quite good.
Well,
and I improved every week.
The outfits that they made you do.
Yeah,
cowboy, Shrek. The top hat and the Shrek comes straight to your head.
Two and a half hours in the chair.
But it was done in the morning time.
It was done at 9 o'clock in the morning. So it was on the whole day. And what actually happened on that, that was the jive. If anybody didn't recognise the jive, I was doing the jive for the Shrek movie week. So you get into costume at 9 o'clock in the morning and that full makeup, and it's like a prosthetic that goes over your head. So you there's no way for the heat to get over your body. So I was taking my shoes off, so it's kind of the heat going out of my feet. But there was a bit of a malfunction on the makeup because it was on so long, and I was in the chair right up to the second I went on live to dance. And so we started off dancing, and every dance you dance, you start off on your left foot. On this particular dance, you start on your right foot.
Right.
And I started off my left foot, so I was lost. So I said
to her, gone from the step.
From the very first step. So I said to Rebecca, I said, I don't have a clue where I am. She's shouting at me, counting me in like 1, 2, 3. And I said, no. I says, Shrek's about to go rogue.
After 12 hours in this bloody thing.
And he went rogue.
That's incredible dedication to the because you're a busy man. You have done Brodie House, which is a very busy establishment. You have lots of other things going on, books and actual cooking and chefing away. That's amazing you put so much time into this.
Yeah, well, I agreed to do it last May. So I blocked out my diary.
Why did you leave it till November to start it?
Well, you weren't allowed to. Well, maybe I should have.
Well, I think some people got years of dancing lessons. I've mentioned those. But the Shrek moment is special to you, I believe, even still.
Yeah.
It's the screensaver on your phone, isn't it?
It is, actually. Did they just tell you that on the phone?
Were we supposed to know that? I'm not sure.
I love it.
I think we just broke GDPR rules.
It does move to other images as well.
I was hoping you'd reveal it first, but moving on.
Yeah. By the way, that memories will stick in my head for a long time.
One of the memories for us, because it's obviously painful for you and it's very difficult to dance as you discovered, is just the amount of fun that we have out of this show.
Yeah.
And to have an entire episode of Liveline, and everyone's talking about it since Joe Anadzi's retiring from it. That was, did you listen to that episode?
Listened to it afterwards. He actually sent me a lovely painting.
Joe did.
And also a card saying, keep dancing, Liveline listeners love you.
That's because he felt really bad.
I'd say so.
He felt really bad. And also, it was amazing radio.
Yeah, it was fantastic. The national treasure.
People were complaining that you were such a divisive figure and you shouldn't have been there at the competitive end of dancing. But that must have hurt, though, at the time.
Well, it did for about a day.
All right.
Because I said, I'm not voting myself to stay in here. Like, this is like an entertainment show. I'm doing my best. I am putting in the time and I'm improving. It's just like, it just so happened that the year that I'm actually competing in it, there's two Olympians, active Olympians.
It's a tall order, wasn't it?
Yeah. Not a hope. But I was kind of happy they showed up because there was a dancing competition at the end of the day. So
you got over, you kind of look at it differently now, it seems like, do you? Experience.
Yeah. The Joe Duffy moment.
The whole thing, the Dancing with Stars and the madness of the Joe Duffy moment as well.
Yeah. But then when you think about it, the whole of the nation, besides one person, got behind me. kept me in for another couple of weeks.
It kept you in for a long time. Were you actually disappointed on the night when you had to exit?
No, I think if you had asked me at the start of the series that I was going to get to the quarterfinal, mm-hmm. I would have taken your hand off and said, brilliant. Right? But then when you get there, it made sense that I went, and I went out in a high, and I was only gone a week, and I was back then for the final, so it was perfect. But there is a side of you saying, I wish I could have just stayed to the semi-final.
Yes.
But I reckon if I got to the semi-final, I could have gone to the final, and I possibly could have won, and then that would have been a complete
disaster.
Against
the gold medalist?
No, but just like public vote. Because it's literally just down to the public vote at that point.
It is, okay, yeah. I see what you mean, yeah. That you were even acknowledging that would have been a disaster.
It would have been gone.
So much went on in that. Joanna Donnelly is one of the biggest stories. In fact, the week the poor Pope died, she was a bigger story.
She topped us.
Of her announcement. Can you shed any light at all that's legally broadcastable?
No.
Does that mean you don't know anything? No.
Oh, I do, but I don't say.
Okay.
No, Joanna is great. So
you're busy anyway at the moment these days.
Very busy, back doing our second series of Under the Grill, our podcast. So that's...
oh, yes, I've been on
you,
it.
You have been on it. Yeah, you did really well.
Is the idea the same for everyone? They get a childhood favourite meal and...
Yeah, and we talk about it. And like
you cook it?
Yeah, I cook it. And then we talk about it. We go down all different avenues with our food and brings everybody back to...
You're enjoying that.
Yeah, childhood memories.
When I actually spoke to you last year, you had just given an interview where you talked about losing weight.
Yes.
And particularly the remarks that people would just randomly make, the cruel or casual remarks that men make to each other.
Yeah, I know, you're saying you're fat.
That's
what they'd say.
That's what they'd say to you.
It's like...
But that got to you, didn't it?
It did. It did. It did at the time. And then, again, I went down to India and I went on that retreat for 2 weeks. And it's not so much a retreat. It's everybody has a place that they can go to that kind of resets. And I go down there and I just stay on my own in silence and I walk and I hike and I do yoga and...
it's your calm place.
Yeah, it's a calm place. And then I came back and I knew that the Dancing with Stars was coming.
I see.
So I'd lost, like before Dancing with Stars, I had lost quite a bit of weight. And then with the Dancing with Stars, you kind of lose more weight, obviously, because you're working out so much. And then the weight kind of stops and the weight kind of goes from losing weight to turning into muscle. So...
Right.
So it's... Yeah,
the scale says he's absolutely ripped. This fella.
Ripped.
How do you... People just make those casual remarks about your weight and they think it's fine because it's fella to fella, is it?
Well, their point... Actually, it was really interesting because the article came out on the Sunday and Cash and myself were in a restaurant on Monday. And a guy we were sitting at the bar, and there was a guy at the bar, and he actually looked at me and he says, "Oh, I see you found a t-shirt to fit you."
Oh my God.
And I kind of looked at him and I just laughed. And then I went, hold on a second. I says, that article was written for people like you.
You confronted him.
Yeah, I said, and his wife was going mad with him. So, but it was...
It's mortifying. And the article was literally, he'd learned nothing from it.
No, absolutely nothing.
Because people were previously coming up to you, they knew you from the TV.
Yeah,
and
they feel
as if
you're public property
you.
and they can say what they want to say to you and that's fine. And
what was his response when you confronted him then?
He was going, well, you put yourself out there, Kevin, so...
So I can say whatever I want.
So I said, that gives you... no, it doesn't work that way. But then he came over to try and apologize to me and then I kind of got a bit thick. I said, no.
You didn't accept the apology later on. And then you probably couldn't stop thinking about it for the rest of the evening, so it was ruined anyway.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, you know, you're in a restaurant and you have thousands of people come through your door and they're all like really, really positive and you get one person that will say something and that's the person you remember.
Yeah.
How wrong is that?
We have to fix that in our heads.
We do, big time. Yeah.
But it sounds like you've been steeled by that experience and the dancing experience.
Yeah.
And there's a whole new Cirque du Dundon.
Cirque du Dundon.
By the way, you must make sure to say hello to our friend of the show, Victor Ernest Levingston, who's off to Dunbrody House to celebrate his 80th birthday.
Oh,
next week.
Fantastic. Yeah.
He was called Victor Ernest in memory of V.E. Day because he was born in 1945. So.
Oh, fantastic.
He's very much looking forward to
delighted to have him.
Some fish in Dunbrody.
Yeah, delighted to have
and,
him.
And in another show, we'll have Nevin's Black Lion Estate versus the Dundon one.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a million for being the visiting critic.
Oh, it's fantastic. I really enjoyed it.
5-star review for the aerial acrobatics, which we didn't expect. And have a lovely weekend.
Yeah, you too. Great
Kevin
to see
Dundon,
you.
Back after these.